This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey, so let me kind of give you some context where we're at with this series, what the series is about. We're doing a series on Word Matters because we think that words matter, right? We think that words are important. The words that we choose to use, like it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that our words either have life in them or they have death in them. With our words, we have the power of life and death. It says the power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Essentially, you are going to reap what you sow when it comes to the words that you speak, right? So the words that you speak, they have life and death. If you're speaking life, you get to experience that life. You get to live the fruit of what you've spoken. If you speak death, if you speak negativity, if you speak cursing, not necessarily like cursing in the way that we think cursing, but just like negativity over other people's lives, if you're just bitter towards them, then you get to experience that. I think you kind of create a cloud around yourself with your negativity. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So that's what the series is about. And I'll kind of give you some context as to where we've been so maybe you understand where we're going, right? You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. So the first week we talked about sinking ships and how our words, it says in James that the tongue is small, but it's like a rudder on a ship and it kind of determines where the ship goes, even though it's just this little bitty component. And our tongue is the same way, right? Our mouths are the same way. They kind of chart the course for our lives, good or bad, right? You can use that to your advantage, life, or you can have that work to your calamity, death, right? Your choice. So that's what sinking ships was all about. And then we talked about our self-talk. Now, how many of you would be honest and say, this is just something that you deal with? It's a struggle. Struggle. That's a C. Struggle. It's a struggle. Self-talk, I think I told you guys as part of that message that my kind of go-to, my default when it comes to speaking to myself is not just you idiot, it's you freaking idiot, right? That's kind of what I go to for myself, and I probably hear that no less than about 400 times a day, if we're just being honest, right? And so the problem with that is, look, I'm all for it. If you want to be hard on yourself, that's fine. I think some of you could be harder on yourself, but that's cool too, right? Right? Because you know, some people, man, they just feel themselves a little too much. Bring it down a notch, homie, bring it down a notch. But the problem is self-talk, we do it at such a rapid rate. We speak to ourselves somewhere, they say, between 700 and 1,000 words per minute. Just like, da-da-da-da, just really, really fast. And the vast majority of it is negative. And so, again, you are creating this negativity in your life, and you get to experience the fruit of it, right? Those who love it will eat its fruit. You have to experience what it is that you're talking to yourself about, positive or negative. So we did that, and then we talked also, last week was probably my favorite. How many of you guys were here last week? We ate tacos. Most importantly, no, I'm just kidding. We did a thing called Words with Friends, and we had some of the leaders come and share some words that have been powerful in their life, some words that have encouraged them or challenged them in different ways, and I thought that was pretty awesome. So all of that to say, that's kind of where we've been. I skipped a week, but it's cool. We'll do it for the sake of brevity here. So this week, we're going to look at what you find a lot of times in kind of these conversations is some comparison, right? It's the power of life and death are in the tongue. It's a comparison, right? You see, you pit the two against each other. It talks about how, you know, essentially you choose blessing or you choose curse, right? The difference between the two. You choose light and you choose darkness with the words that you say. So we're going to look at another one of those comparisons today, and it's really kind of a simple one, but it's one that I think we could all benefit from in terms of actually doing something with what we know to do. How many of y'all know that most of Christianity is not a matter of lack of information? It's a matter of lack of application, right? Like most people who've been in church for very long at all, we kind of know what we're supposed to do. It's just a matter of doing what it is that we're supposed to do, right? It's the follow through that we struggle with, not the information. So today we're going to talk about the difference between bitterness and blessing, and specifically as it relates to our words, right? Do you speak words of bitterness, or do you speak words of blessing? And we'll look at exactly what this means in a little bit. But again, it's kind of the comparison. It's the choice that we get to make when it comes to the words that we used. And I think that most of our lives, if you could kind of like do a percentage either way, right? I think most of us lean one way or the other. Most people aren't just kind of right down the middle. It's like, well, sometimes it's bitterness and sometimes it's blessing. You kind of lean one way or the other. And I think you start to lean more and more that way as you lean that way, right? Have you noticed like when you start falling? And it's like the slow-mo. Have you seen people fall in slow motion? Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's like they're falling, and you love to catch them, but you kind of want to watch the train wreck in slow motion, right? And they're going to fall, but it's just real slow, and that's eventually what happens. So look at this. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, it says this. Again, thinking in terms of our words being bitterness or our words being blessing. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings. I mean, y'all do. I don't. I don't struggle with that at all. With our tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, come bitterness and blessing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I love the way that he kind of like just calls it out. He's like, hey, this is what we're doing. Hey, y'all, knock it off. Right? If Paul was from East Texas, that's kind of probably what he would say. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And so really, he's starting to drill down a little bit. He's like, hey, you shouldn't have, you know, bitterness and blessing coming out of the same mouth. And I think you can determine what's inside by what's coming out, right? He's like, essentially, there's a spring inside of you. And if it's bitterness, then the spring is bitter. If it's fresh, if it's blessing, if it's life-giving, then the spring is what the spring is supposed to be, right? Now, I think a lot of people, we just don't think this is important, right? We think, well, it's just, you know, I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm just going to let them know how I feel, right? Let me talk about how important this is. Where's John Crumpton? Hey, John. Tavian, come here. Yeah. We're going to have a drinking contest. A church drinking contest. And we ain't even Catholic. That's a good one. It's funny, when the band was playing, I was like, so this is what it feels like to be Baptist. Okay. Hang on. Slow down.
What are we doing?
You want it? Yeah. Slow down. I'm just killing the church jokes this morning. So we're going to talk about how important our words are, right? So some people, I'm scared. Some people think that it's not important. They think that what comes out is not important. They think ultimately that the source, the spring, is not important. So we're going to have a drinking contest to decide how important this is, and you'll understand it in a minute. On your mark. Get set, go! Tavian. Let me ask you a question. How did that taste?
Like salt.
You picked the wrong person, dude. You just killed the whole illustration. Yeah, get off the stage. Golly. It was supposed to be rigged. So John put 6 packs of salt in there, and Tavian just slammed it like it wasn't anything. So I guess words don't matter. See y'all next week. Thanks, Tavian. Just killing it. Absolutely just killing it. Yeah. Y'all saw the first reaction, though, right? Like, oh, man, that's bad. So regardless of how well Tavian handled that particular drink, our words matter, right? The bitterness and the blessing, it's a real thing. And if you don't think it is, ask the people around you, right? Ask the people around you if what you say to them and how you talk to them, if it matters. Because a lot of times they may not give you that response unless you ask for it, and then you wish you wouldn't have asked for it. So we could go a few different directions with this, but I just really want to own in on the bitterness or the blessing. Are you speaking words of bitterness? Or are you speaking words of blessing? So let's talk about each of these. Bitterness, and again, let's be honest, right? This is so easy to do. It is so much easier to because bitterness is about feeling, right? It's about the initial shock of the drink and the zing that you feel, the shock of it, and you want to respond. It's so easy to be bitter. It's so easy to point out and to call out everything that you don't like. It's so easy to talk about people who disagree with you. It's so easy to talk about people who do really stupid things or hurtful things. It's so easy to look at the circumstances in your life and talk about and complain about everything that's going on in the world and the volatility of the world. All of that stuff is easy. If you don't think it is, look at social media. What percentage, and I don't have the answer to this, I'm sure somebody has done research on this, I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to produce, but what percentage of social media is actually positive versus negative? What percentage of social media is bitterness as opposed to blessing, right? These words of blessing. And I think you kind of get an indication of where we are as a society when it comes to that, and how do most people feel about it? Like, it's so funny when it comes to social media, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, I talk a lot of crap, but I keep going back. Have y'all noticed that? Like, we complain about it, but then we go and do and partake in and are involved with the things that we complain about. Doesn't make any sense. So bitterness, it's so easy to get wrapped up in. It's so easy to complain about all of the things that are going on. It's so easy to complain about people and situations, right? Bitterness is easy, but that doesn't mean that it's productive. Bitterness is easy, but it is not productive. Complaining about and verbalizing our displeasure with all of these issues, even if it's substantiated, right? Even if you're complaining, it has a base, right? There's you know, maybe some truth to what it is that you're saying. Complaining about it doesn't actually bring any solutions to the problem. Complaining about it, all it does is it creates a cloud around you, kind of this ominous cloud of negativity, because we start to label people based on the way that they talk, right? And so when you start to complain about everything, now you are a Karen. And I need to speak to your manager, right? Or you are Negative Nancy, or you are Debbie Downer. Why is it always women? I'm just asking. We need to come up with some good ones for dudes, because I know plenty of dudes who are just incredibly negative. And you start to attract that, right? Again, you kind of create this cloud around you of negativity. Not only do you have this cloud around you, but you start to attract to yourself other people who are negative. And now you have this negativity fest, right? Where you just like, it's almost a competition of who can be the most negative and complain the most. And so this is what you were creating because you were choosing to speak words of bitterness. Not only does it attract negative people to us and it creates a cloud around us, but I think it also trains our brain. It teaches our brain to look for the bad in every situation rather than training our brain to look, because it takes training to look for good. So we teach our brain to automatically default and go to the negative as opposed to looking for the good and looking for the positive. So this is what bitterness does. This is what these words of bitterness, when we speak them, when we allow them to be kind of part of our lexicon, that's the problem that it creates. And so I think it could go as far as, these are some of the cautionary tales of bitterness, right? But I think it could even go as far as derailing your future. I think you rob yourself of opportunity if you have all of this bitterness and negativity in your life. I really do. I think some people wouldn't want anything to do with somebody like that, wouldn't want to partake, wouldn't want to, right? Wiki, wouldn't want to be involved with, participate with, couple with, partner with somebody who is so negative. So you miss out on opportunities because of your bitterness and your negativity. I think of a very clear example of where this bitterness actually robbed a group of people from the future that God had for them. Numbers chapter 14, verse 2, if you have read the Old Testament, it is one of the most frustrating stories in all of humanity is what we kind of refer to as the children of Israel. The Exodus and the children of Israel. Like these, I'm going to be rude for a minute. These fools literally saw the deliverance of God from the mightiest nation in the world at the time. So the Egyptians, it was the most powerful world, a nation in the world at the time. And Pharaoh was the most powerful person in the world at the time. And God delivered them from the nation of Egypt. And we all understand through the book of Exodus, like this crossing of the Red Sea, it says that God parted the Red Sea with a blast of his nostrils and they walked through on dry ground. And they get to the other side of that and they're like, oh God, you brought us out here to kill us. And he's like, do you not get the And what happens is, that, again, because it's about feeling, right? In that moment, they had a need. In that moment, they were hungry. In that moment, they were tired. In that moment, they were in their feels and they forgot what God had done. And because they forget, they are bitter because it's about feeling. So they have all of this bitterness in their life, and that bitterness that's in their life starts to come out of their mouth, and it ultimately derails their future. Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. Again, this is after God delivered them, parted the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground. He leads them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. He's given them guidance as to where it is they're supposed to go. He's done these incredible things, and this is what happens in Numbers 14. All the sons of Israel grumbled against. Have you ever grumbled? Y'all, I grumble, and I'll talk about this in a minute. Shelley's like, let's go. Keep on, right? All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Now, that's kind of a weird way of saying, I wish that we would have died in the land of Egypt. Now, here's what's interesting. If you don't know the story, they were actually slaves in Egypt. They wished they could have gone back to the bondage that they were in because of the bitterness of the moment, right? The bitterness that they're allowing in their life. We wish that we'd have died in the land of Egypt, or that we would have died in this wilderness. So they're asking for death, even though God has brought them out and brought them through and led them to so many different things. Like, they are derailing their future because of their words. So their request is, right, their negativity, the bitterness is, oh God, I wish that we would have died in the wilderness. And eventually God granted their requests. We create our future with our words. Like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, words, not only do they matter, but words make matter. We create our future with our words. So let's talk about grumbling for just a minute. Y'all, listen, I may be chief grumble, because I'm just kind of like, maybe I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'll say it to myself under my breath. Right? Just a little bit. Does anybody else struggle with that? No, cool. All right, I'll keep moving. And so eventually the grumbles of the children of Israel, they were granted what they complained about, they ultimately got. And I think the same thing is true for us. If you keep complaining about something, you're going to get to live the fruit of what it is that you complain about. You get to experience and walk through the things that you are perpetually complaining about and the bitterness that you are allowing to be in your life. If you continue to grumble, you're destined to fumble, bumble, and stumble through the rest of your life. It's poetic, because it's got to be true if it's poetic, right? If we continue to grumble, then we're just going to, y'all remember Chris Berman back in the days, like rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Some of y'all may not. Yeah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Chris? All right, thank you. Eric Basketball, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Basketball. Finally, somebody with some dignity in this room. This is how Scripture says this, kind of this idea of, if you continue to speak this negativity, this is what you get to experience. Or basically, here's the alternative to that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And this is verse 14 all by itself. If you ever want to say, man, I went to church and I learned a verse today, this is it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, all by itself. It says, do everything, and this is good for your children too, right? Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So like, next time your children, they start, just look at Philippians 2:14. Or are you going to get two of these in 14? I'm just kidding. Jeez. I saw somebody's mouth go, oh,
It was a joke. Yeah, and some of y'all are like, that's right. Preach, preacher, right? Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become, and now I love the follow-up to that, right? It's so easy. It's not a matter of information. It's a matter of application. We know this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And this, I love what it says in verse 15. It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. It's so rare that people don't complain. It's so rare that people aren't negative. It's so rare that people aren't bitter, that when you actually choose to live your life like that, you look like a shining star. And we need some more shining stars in the world that we live in. Like, we've got enough of the flickering star. We need some shining stars. We've got enough of the stars that have already burned out. We need some shining stars. So do everything without grumbling or complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked world. Do you notice that he mentions that the world is messed up? Right? He's not saying, hey, do everything without grumbling and everything, by the way, is going to be really easy for you. It's not what it says, right? That's not the implication. The implication is that things are going to be hard. Things are going to be challenging. Bad things are going to happen to you. People are going to hurt you. People are going to betray you. But in spite of all of that, or in light of all of that, do everything without grumbling or arguing on Facebook. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more in just a minute. But first, let's talk about the flip side of this. So that's what bitterness looks like. Let's talk about blessing for just a minute. Because when I say, you know, speaking words of blessing, maybe that could be confusing. Because what I'm not talking about is like a formal blessing, right? I think we talked a couple of weeks ago about how in Numbers chapter 6, the priest would speak a blessing over the lives of the people. It was like, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, may he be gracious to you and give you peace, right? And it was much more of a formal blessing. But when I say speak words of blessing, what I'm saying is looking for the blessing in every situation. Right? When we are speaking words of blessing, what we're doing is calling out the good, the blessing in people, in situations, in bad circumstances, and in good circumstances. We're just calling out the good. We're calling out the blessing in those circumstances. Does that make sense a little bit? So rather than speaking these words of bitterness, we can choose to speak words of blessing. It's such an obvious thing, but it's something that most of us struggle to do consistently. Right, it's not something that sometimes we do it, right? Sometimes we're good about it. Sometimes we can call out the good in situations, the good in people, and the blessing in those things. But most of the time, we struggle to do it consistently. That's the issue that I think most of us have. So when we say we're speaking words of blessing, I think you guys kind of understand what it is that we're talking about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I think is a really good way to look at this and kind of understand what words of blessing are. It says this, finally, brothers and sisters, isn't it interesting that all of these verses use the phrase brothers and sisters? Brothers? I don't know. Maybe it's not. I just thought it was interesting because I like to say brothers and sisters. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So if you want to know what it means to speak blessing, if you want to know what this looks like kind of in terms of your words coming out of your mouth, creating your life, if it is lovely, if it is noble, if it is just, if it is pure, if there's anything in it that is praiseworthy, anything in it that's worthy of being called out and articulated, it's interesting because it says, think about these things. Now, what you think about, you eventually vocalize, right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is that man, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So what we internalize, what we think about, is eventually what we talk about. So the things that we talk about, the blessing in our life needs to be things that are lovely, noble, just, pure, things of good report. And when you start to speak those things, to call out those things, to look for the good in people and in situations, just like with negativity and bitterness, how you create this ominous cloud, you create kind of a, not to be weird, not to be mystical, but you create an aura, right? You create a personality that people are drawn to. People want to be around people who are encouraging. Newsflash, right? I can't think of a single time in my life where I saw somebody coming that I knew was just bitter, and I'm like, oh, good, I'm so excited to see them. Right? But there are other people, when you see them coming, you're like, oh, man, it's so good to see them, right? You know that they're going to be encouraging, and they're going to say some nice things to you and gas you up, most likely, not tell you the truth, but whatever. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Sort of. I mean, let's be honest, right? So I think it's important that we understand what we are creating with our words. Now, here's where it gets interesting. I think there are times, even though what we think we eventually say, I think we withhold what it is that we think. And it's funny because when it's good, we don't have any problem holding it back. When it's bad, we don't have any problem letting it fly. Have you thought about that? Like there are things that we should be saying that we are choosing not to say. We are intentionally withholding. And there are things that we should not be saying that we are letting out that we should not let out. And so that's kind of the difference between bitterness and blessing. Let's wrap up with some application. And we kind of alluded to the first one here. The first point is this: just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. Now, we have become exponentially more courageous over the last 15 years because now we can say things without actually saying them face to face. We say them behind the safety of our keyboards. Right? Just because you think it, did you know? I don't know if you knew this or not, but pastors have opinions. I know it is mind-blowing. I have my own opinions, like I do. I have opinions that are probably different than a lot of people, right? There are people even in this room that we would probably vehemently disagree on some things. But we don't have to articulate that. We don't have to just, you know, put it out there for everybody to know. Because this is where we live kind of in the world that we're in. We just like to put everybody's dirty laundry out there for all the world to see and sniff. Right? That's nasty. Y'all stop. Just because you think it doesn't mean that you have to say it. There are even times when you are right and it's better off to keep your mouth shut. Because you have to consider, which is this perpetuating in my life or in the life of the other person, bitterness or blessing? Bitterness or blessing, which of the two are you speaking? So just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. There are some, now we're not naive enough to think that there aren't going to be negative reactions in your head when you hear something, you see something, you experience something. Obviously, we're still human, right? So we have these negative emotional responses, but just because you feel it doesn't mean you have to say it. Right, so sometimes, just let me say this delicately, shut up and just keep it to yourself. Doesn't mean we have to put it into words. So that's the first one. Second one is this. There's only 500 of these, so we'll go quickly. Number two is what I'm going to call remember the cycle. Remember the cycle. Now, I think what happens is, kind of in a really weird sense, if you think about it like this, maybe it'll help to understand where I'm going. We breathe in and breathe out pretty much the same air for the most part, right? I mean, like, we're breathing in and we're breathing out kind of the same air. So you breathe out and then you breathe in, and it's largely, you know, I mean, obviously there are other factors atmospherically and blah, 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 right? But you kind of get the idea. We breathe out and we breathe in the same air. I think also with our words, like, we speak out, and I think there is a cycle where what we speak returns to us. So I think what's happening inwardly eventually goes outwardly, and the words that we speak outwardly, they are creating around us an atmosphere, and we are inwardly kind of retaking in those words, and then we speak them out again. I think there is a cycle to our words. Let me give you an example of this. Like, so we've got some bitterness. Maybe you feel this negative emotion in your heart, and so then you articulate that. Now you've kind of created this negativity around you. You start to walk in that. You start to feel that. That starts to become the condition of your heart. And now that it's the condition of your heart, you start to speak it even more, right? It's a cycle of bitterness and negativity. Now, flip side, right? It works the same way as far as blessing as well. So you've got a choice to make. Do you want to perpetuate the cycle of blessing, or do you want to perpetuate the cycle of bitterness? So remember that there is a cycle at play. That's number two. Number three, we overcome complaining with gratitude. We overcome complaining with gratitude. Let's be honest, right? We could have, take the two most qualified, awesome people in the room, and they could still, in a conversation, find things to complain about each other, to each other, about each other, right? Like we all have faults, we all have flaws, we all have things that just don't jive, and we could complain about each other, we can complain to each other, we can complain about our circumstances, but instead of doing that, what if we just looked for some things to be thankful for? I'm thankful that we're different, right? Because if we were all the same, that would kind of suck. Like, how lame would that be if there were never any disagreements? I kind of like to argue sometimes. It's fun. It's good. Like, if it's healthy-ish. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, be thankful for the differences. Be thankful for our uniqueness. Be thankful that we are custom-made. We are one-off. Like, God specifically and uniquely crafted us and designed us to be different than every other person. So I'm thankful that we have differences. As opposed to whining about and complaining about our differences, why don't we celebrate our differences? Y'all see how this starts to work? And you can do this with any situation in your life. You can find things to be thankful for, right? Find some situations and look for gratitude, because gratitude overcomes bitterness. Gratitude overcomes complaining every single time. And it also upsets a lot of people. Have you noticed how, like, when somebody is bitter, when somebody is negative, and they just start talking about all this stuff, and you start to point out the good in things, it disarms them, right? They're just like, what? Say, what? What are you doing? And they keep trying to come at you with all that negativity, and you ain't having it, and you don't have to have it. That's for them to have. You ain't got to partake. You ain't got to be a part of what it is that they're doing. So we overcome complaining with gratitude. That's number three. Number four. So that puts us out of 500, 496 more to go. Number four, unexpressed gratitude isn't gratitude. This is kind of like a confessional, just if we're being honest. Unexpressed gratitude isn't gratitude. Shelly gets on to me all the time. She's like, you don't say you love me enough. I'm like, yes, I do. I say it every time you say it to me. Every time you say it, I say it back. So technically, I say it as many times as you do. Y'all see the way my mind is messed up, right? Always looking for, like, the loopholes. Now, the problem is, like, we need to be the initiators. Will you stop? I'm sharing here. Knock it off. We need to be the initiators of gratitude, right? We need to be vocal about our appreciation, our concern, our care for those that we love. I am so guilty. This is something that I struggle with. I think about somebody, and I'm like, man, I hope they're doing good, you know, and maybe even throw up a prayer for them, like just really thinking about them, but I won't let them know that I'm thinking about them. And then you see them, you know, 3 months later, and they're like, where have you been, right? You know, I don't even know you. I got you. Payback, because this long story. Anyway, my bad, bro. Everybody's coming at me. Shelly, I'm sorry. Anybody else I need to apologize to? Just let me give it a blanket apology to the whole church, because I'm so guilty. This is what I'll do. I'll see something, or, you know, maybe somebody's going through something, or I'll just be thinking about them, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to send them a text just to let them know, and then I'll get my phone, and I'll get distracted on something else, and I'll completely forget about doing it. I was thinking about them, like your heart is in the right place, but unexpressed gratitude isn't really gratitude, right? If we don't let them know, then they don't know how we actually feel. So that seems so obvious. So they call you out in front of everybody, right? Unexpressed gratitude isn't gratitude. Number four, number five, last one. I'm just kidding. We're going to five. We're not going to 500. Number five is this. Keep a gratitude journal. Keep a gratitude journal. Do y'all know that we all suffer from a condition called spiritual amnesia? spiritual amnesia. We, just like the children of Israel, when I read that story, I get so frustrated. I'm like, you guys are just so dumb. And then I look at my life sometimes and like the things that I'm going through and how similar they are to things that I've gone through, that God has brought me through. And yet in the moment, I'm still kind of concerned about and freaking out about the thing that I'm going through because I have spiritual amnesia. I forget about the goodness of God. I forget about the provision of God. I forget about the way that he provides uniquely. And I forget about the things that he does for me. I forget about the fires that I've gone through and I didn't get burned. I forget about the valleys that I made it through and the mountains that I climb. I forget about that stuff. And then when you're going through it, if you didn't write it down, you can't have something to refer back to. Man, there is something incredibly powerful about going back and reading what you wrote, about how God got you through this, or God did this for you, God provided this for you, God, your heart was in this place, and God got it to this place, your mind was in this place, and God got it to this place. I've written kind of bullet points. It doesn't have to be in great detail, but I've written some like bullet points of the way that God has provided for us through this church. And I go back and read, and I'm like, I wish we had those problems again. Right? Because it was like, man, we need, you know, $500 to pay the rent this month. I don't know what we're going to do, God. And I'm like, can we have $5,000? Can we have 15? Can we have 100,000? Right? Like your problems just get bigger as you go, but the provision is the same, right? It's still the same source. It's still the same giver. God is the one that's still ultimately in control. But when you go back and you look and you read what you wrote about how God got you through, man, there is power in that. It starts to emphasize the blessing of God instead of the bitterness of your emotions and your feelings and the moment, the circumstances, the situation. So really what this all kind of comes down to is that we have a choice. Every one of us, every single one of us have a choice to make. Are you going to speak words of bitterness? Are you going to speak words of blessing? Are you going to call out the obvious flaws in people and the volatility of the world? Or are you going to train your mind to see the good and start to perpetuate that, to call that out, to speak the good in people and in situations? It's your choice. It's not a matter of information. It's a matter of transformation. So what you going to do? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for the fact that we have to believe, if we believe you at all, we have to believe all of you. And it says that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. God, there are things that happen in our life that we don't understand. There are situations and circumstances that take place, God, that we can't make sense of. We can't imagine. We can't see in the moment how you could possibly use something like that. But we have to believe that you can. We have to believe that you will. God, and I pray that you would help us not just to believe it, but to articulate that belief. God, to start to speak the blessing of God over our lives, to call out the good in ourselves, our situations, and the people around us. God, to not focus so much on the negative, to not be bitter, but to speak life in our lives, in our situations, in our heads, our self-talk, and especially to those who are around us. God, help us to articulate, God, to express our gratitude, not just to feel our gratitude, but to actually put it into words. God, I pray that ultimately what this all boils down to, God, is that you would help us to choose life, to choose blessing, as opposed to choosing bitterness and choosing death. God, it's not that we don't know, it's that we struggle sometimes to follow through. Help us follow through. In Jesus' name, amen.